Okay, good morning. Today's class is Le'unishmat Yechmat Diana Ben Gedalia, Le'unishmat Tzion Ben Neima, Rufo Shalema of Daniel Ben Sara, and Rav Shalom Ben Yavne, and Chana Bat Adel. Success in Yerat Shemaim of Elisheva Rabah, Gadiel Ben Elisheva, Shefer Elisheva, Emel Elishan, Reina Malka Batova Basha, May 3rd and May 4th in LA, and May 17th in Manhattan. All right, we're going to do an amazing concept tonight. Tonight's actually the seventh day of Passover. Today's when sea splits. Everybody should wake up in the morning as much as they can. I would say, I think the time is 2:30, 4 o'clock. There's a specific energy in the air of splitting seas. Splitting seas is very connected to two things, money and relationships. Our sages say that the splitting of the Red Sea is as hard as getting married, and splitting of the Red Sea is hard as making money. So these two things both connect to splitting seas. Splitting of the seas refer to prayer. We're going to talk about two concepts, these two concepts today. Very, very important concepts. Amazing, amazing concepts. And the books that we're going to talk about today is the Bres of Haggadah and Likutei Yama Chachma by Rabbi Morgenstein. Beautiful concepts on how really, really to take advantage. So just the energy in the air, as we could see. Rabbi Morgenstein talks about that on the fifth day of Passover, which was yesterday, We went back to, because remember, we got the free light on the first day of Passover. Then all of a sudden, you enjoy the holiday. Next thing you know, all of a sudden, the light gets taken away from you. And now, all of a sudden, so you can get the new anticipation of the new light. And on the fifth day, particularly, is when we fell into Mochem Kadnut. Mochem Kadnut in Kabbalah means not seeing the big picture. Mochem Gadlut means good mood, seeing the big picture. Mochem Kadmud means confusion, not seeing the big picture, being all over the place, scattered. So this is when we refer to the word Mochem Kadmud. That's what we're referring to. Mochem Kadmud, a person is confused, scattered. This is a dangerous place because he can end up doing foolish things. So the fifth day was Mochem Kadmud, which is yesterday. I don't know what happened to me, but I'm very, very... My energy is very intense, so I feel it like black and white. I can know when there's good energy and there's intense energy. So today, you start getting a little bit more better energy because you're entering. And then the seventh day, we don't get the same energy as before. This is what he's saying here. After the first night of Pesach, all the mochim leave us. Throughout the first week of the Sefirat HaOmer, we begin to receive new levels of mochim. But by the fifth day of the week, following the first night of Pesach, we found that we're mochim kadmon. We're back to the confusion, where is all those gains that I had before? And it's a normal state. We felt like we didn't even know which way to go, meaning we didn't even know how to, we were confused, trapped in all directions. This exactly mimics exactly what happened in Egypt. From all directions, exactly by the sea, etc. On the sixth day of the week, which is today, we receive some more mochem de gadlus. You start getting a little bit more of a better mindset today, more clarity. But it's not the same level that we got when we left Egypt. We didn't have enough light to remove Paro completely. On the seventh day is when we're going out of Egypt, and the Arizal says that the light of the Mashiach is here on the seventh day. We left Egypt. There's a custom to actually make a meal on the eighth day, where Chassidim make a meal, Chabad makes a meal, meal of Mashiach, where they have a whole meal, etc. It's a very good custom. So this is a very common thing, where we just understanding the energy of the holiday itself, how a person can go through ups, and next thing you know, that light gets taken away from him, and he starts earning and earning it back. And you could really look at this practically in our relationships. You start a relationship hot, next thing you know, it cools off, and you have to go rebuild it again to the original spark. I could say this is relationship 101. Splitting of the Red Sea is exactly our relationships in our lives. We start hot. God gives you the... Why do we start hot? God gives you the light. Because if you didn't start hot, like you attracted the person, then you would never pursue it. He does it on purpose. If you started warm, if you started confused, you wouldn't be it. But there's a purpose why a person's dating somebody, is setting a goal. God gives them that initial PPP loan. Free PPP loan. Okay, now you have to earn it. So this is a major confusion. This is a major confusion in relationships today. Thinking that it's always going to be hot, always going to be fresh. Not possible. Nothing like that is possible. Go to the gym and see if you're motivated 30 days straight. You'll find one person. You're motivated 30 days straight? It's not possible. You have moments of you're super motivated when you get the membership, when you work out. Next thing you know, it dwindles. Now you're questioning whether or not you should go work out again. But how is that possible when the other day you were like pumped and etc.? Because this is the way life works. Starts with the hot, then you have to rebuild it to get that. God gives us a preview of where you could be in your life. As you see, whoever joins the gym, nobody's breaking through the lockers. Nobody's building new lockers. There's not more There's more members, but not everybody's going. As you could see, you would say, hey, 30% attendance, time for a new locker room. You have not seen construction sites at a locker room because studies show that people get excited, but they don't follow through. Specifically in America. America there's an unbelievable concept that I heard from Rabbi Mansur's class. He says, why is there such a 6-month delay between leaving Egypt, between the Nissan and 6 months? There's actually a 6 months delay. He says, originally when the Jews left, there was a 6 months power change of strategy. He says, I'm not going to press you. I'm just going to make you comfortable. That was Paro's technique. No, I'm not going to press you anymore. I'm going to come for you. I'm going to put you in an enslaved mentality. So he changed his strategy, which is unbelievable. This is why there was a six-month delay. So this night we have, just let's get to what Rabbi Nachman says. Unbelievable concepts. Even if a person should fall into the lowest level, never assume that he's beyond hope. And that this also tonight's also about getting that new hope. Our forefathers themselves found exactly the same situation in the Red Sea. Before the sea split, there was wild animals, wilderness, everything was on the other. Every single possible situation was a person could have given up hope, but they actually did not give hope. They received the highest level of light called Atik. And we're going to talk about this concept called Atik today. Atik means a light from Keser. This is the light of the crown. This is the light of the light. There's no greater light than this light of Atik. This is where a person's mazal comes from. It's a very high energy light that we're able to tap into tonight. It is there from this assistance comes from a person. He's found in the lowest levels, but when he actually cries out to God and doesn't give up hope, he ends up getting the light of Atik. Rabbi Nachman teaches this further concept of splitting of the Red Sea. It's also, what are you also tonight? We're also breaking the haughtiness, the arrogance. So what does Paro know? Paro denied God. Paro completely denied God. Who is this God? Who is this guy who's splitting the Red Sea? You know what Hashem did? He took the ocean and he made them go into the mud, back to the earth. You're denying God? Don't worry. I'm going to show you the earth. The same thing he's telling us here from the Kute Halachas, that God destroyed the water's arrogance. What does water do? It moves. The earth is flat. So he made the complete arrogance of Paro. He made him flat like the earth. And this is also something that we should also understand. Any time that we have this gava, we have these things, we have to go back to the earth. The earth at the end, after the ceiling is split, there was nothing left but the earth. You come from earth, and you end up getting buried in earth. Come from afar, and you go to the person gets buried. So that's a great way to always stay humble in his life. Very, very important concept. But very important tonight is to not give up hope. Do not give up hope. It's major salvations that come today. Today we're going to really talk about the connection between what actually gets a person in order to get him that miracle. How do miracles happen? Rabbi Nachman tells us the miracles happen for a person who's willing to have self-sacrifice. If you want to look in your life where you're going to see miracles in your life, there has to be a self-sacrifice first. We spoke about Nachshon. What did Nachshon do? He went self-sacrifice into the ocean. The ocean split. The sea split. Person has to make a self-sacrifice. I cannot tell you this so importantly. Any area of your life where you're making a self-sacrifice, then you can ask for a miracle. But if there's no self-sacrifice in that area of your life, do not expect to get a miracle. I can't express to you that concept. This is why we're trying to say, you want to get married? Okay, let's go to the 40-day challenge. I need some sacrifice from you. You need to make a splash in heaven. You can't just say, give me this, give me a wife, give me this, give me a partner. And you're not doing anything but doing the same thing, but watching Netflix and sticking ice cream in your face. You're not going to get miracles out of that. That does not get miracles. All you get is calories and low self-esteem. But you have to recognize you need to put money into the game and you need to invest in yourself. And I can't tell you, this is a serious thing. Because what happens is if you show life that you're not willing to self-sacrifice, it's just telling you, I have no self-esteem. I'm not willing to put the time in. I'm not worth the effort. So why would I do it? And this is going to trigger low self-esteem. So God puts us in a situation where he turns your whole life over in order to, so you can get so uncomfortable. So you force yourself to sacrifice. So you force yourself to win. So when we look at bad in life, what we call pain, God calls love. It's very hard to see this. It's very hard to see this. But in a big scale, because if he didn't give you that pain, nothing would get you out of that little comfort zone that you're in, which is ultimately going to just fuel low self-esteem. So God creates midlife crises, shifts in everything. So a person has to have self-sacrifice. And you see these stories where mothers have picked up cars when their babies were almost getting ran over. You see crazy stories that people are capable of. But that doesn't happen that does not happen in a comfort zone. And this is where he's talking about here, a beautiful concept. On this day of the seventh day of Passover, we're actually reaching a very, very, very high level of Yechida. Remember, the reason why we don't see this energy is because there's blockages. And this is where an area in life that it's very important that you want to connect to this energy. I can't connect to this energy if I have 1,000 blockages. Do you understand? Just like you can't get Wi-Fi if you're in the middle of Guatemala in the forest. There's no reception. So we have to make ourselves get reception. How do you get reception? Try to eliminate the bad things in your life that are getting in the way of it. Try to be happy. Gratitude and joy is the greatest way for you to get 5 bars on your phone. You want to get 5 bars on your phone, you want to get the strongest reception in your life, have gratitude and joy. Sadness, anxiety, depression, you have no connection. There's no spiritual connection. Because the reason why we have no spiritual connection in that area is because you're looking at God completely different. Your view of God is a God of punitive, a God of punishment. So your relationship with your Creator is another God. It's not a real God. Our sages tell us black and white, if you're struggling with something, you need to go into surrender. You need to go into complete surrender. Accept where you are. Deal with it. But once you start making a new image and making my Creator is horrible, he's angry, this is better that you become an atheist than have that mindset. Better you have an atheist than you should come with that mindset of a God that is out there to punish you. And fortunately, the religious world, you see this where people have been taught the wrong way. And they look at God as punishment. If I do this, I'm going to get struck by lightning. This foolish imagination, childish imagination that has been taught, God forbid. So he's telling us here, Hashem gives a person suffering only that he will elevate the suffering and he sweeten it to mimic the splitting of the Red Sea, in which we tore through him in the concealment. And the most important words that we said is, this is my God and I will glorify him. This is my God and I will glorify him. So basically he's telling us here, when we're able to go give our Creator pleasure, how do we give our Creator pleasure? When we overcome our own pleasures. Normally you eat 1,000 calories every meal. You say, you know what? I'm going to have only 400 calories because I want to have energy to wake up in the morning to serve my Creator. You just gave your Creator pleasure. You put on you wake up in the morning, you wake up with an hour of sleep, you break your sleep, the sleep is pleasure. You broke your pleasure, you gave heaven a pleasure. Anything that you could do to break your physical pleasure, you're actually giving your heaven a pleasure. It's the way it works. To the extent that you're able to do that, this is why you should always ask your Creator for help and strength, not for your sake. You should ask him for his sake. Creator of the world, give me more. When you, all of a sudden, a person goes into a deal and stops panicking every minute and stops getting angry. He gives his pleasure. When he shuts his mouth instead of opening up his mouth when he shouldn't, again, pleasure. All of these things when you're going against your nature. And the Arizal tells us, because remember, the whole point is to get to the point where you say, this is my God and I will glorify him. When we're not connected spiritually or when we're numbing pain in life, We're not saying this is my God and that I will glorify him. This is my God and look what he did to me. You're completely having a whole different opinion. You become a victim. You're saying I was victimized by a God instead of this is my God. We have to come to this world to recognize our Creator, praise our Creator in all areas of our lives. When you do that, you will see blessing in that area of your life. When you don't see that in area, there's no blessing, because there's only blessing if you let heaven in that area. So what he's telling us here, the Arizal tells us, that the secret to the seventh day of Passover is to get to reveal the oneness of God. Because you're always dealing with the constant message of the Yetzer Hara, the Samech Mem, and his job is to create a concealment. To tell you, what are you talking about? What splitting of the Red Sea? Everything's nature. If the winds come, there'll be a hurricane. Like today, you know, back then they used to say, well, the hurricane happened because of El Nino, right? El Nino happened. No, Hashem creates a hurricane because he wants to create a hurricane. El Nino, the tropics, the Baba Chuchu, whatever a person comes up with. We have to believe there's nothing but God. First one needs, listen to this, the key to splitting every single sea in your life. First one needs to have Mesirut Nefesh to do the will of God by not being concerned about how he feels right now. He needs to give himself over to God's light and surrender to Hashem. That is called Mesirut Nefesh. You're tired, you wake, you do it anyway, Mesirut Nefesh. You give a class when you don't feel like it, Mesirut Nefesh. You have to take your feelings and put them in escrow for the future. If you want any kind of breakthrough in your areas, if it's hard for you to keep Shabbat because you can't be alone, Mesirut Nefesh. That's a Mesirut Nefesh also. Let me be alone on Shabbat. I will give you, I don't know what the price is for that for me. Just to have a little peace of mind where I can study all day long and be relaxed. No price for it. But people can't be alone for Shabbat. I get it. But when you sacrifice your alone, you sacrifice your state of loneliness to be alone and connect to your Creator, Mesirut Nefesh. Those are all forms of sacrifice. When you can sacrifice, then heaven pays you for the sacrifice. Then you, because you broke your nature, heaven breaks their nature for that. And this is the same concept. We're all called today to sacrifice something. It could be sacrificing your phone for 1 hour a day. I mean, it's not enough that you're on it for 11 hours a day. 1 hour, sacrifice 1 hour. Even the digital world is saying, calling a digital Sabbath. Even they know there's a problem. But all of this is very connected to heaven. And this is how we get to the level of Arech. Arech, the first one, in order to get this concept of Atik, to get the miracle happen, because all miracles happen in Atik, you have to first get to the level of self-sacrifice. This is what he's saying here. Just the splitting of the Red Sea, the sea didn't split until Nachshon jumped and showed that he was ready to give his life and submit himself to God's plan. Another practical example is letting go of the past. And that's another self-sacrifice for a person. After showing Mesirut Nefesh, after showing self-sacrifice, one can reveal his bliss in Hashem's presence because that goes beyond logic and reason. Then the light of Atik comes to a person. Because you went beyond reason, then God goes beyond reason for you. It's pretty much the law of attraction. When you go out of your comfort zone, our Creator does out of his comfort zone for you. But when you're staying in that comfort zone, which is the majority of the mentality that you see today, why am I not attracting anything? What have you done to, like, people come to you, I need a raise. Well, you want a raise? You have to outdo your paycheck. Get to a point where I want to give you a raise. You shouldn't even have to ask for it. You have to outdo your paycheck in heaven. You can't want these things that you want in life without doing Mesirut Nefesh. And you have to pick something in your life with this Mesirut Nefesh. One person's Mesirut Nefesh could be at the end of his fork. Another person's could be something you have to do in heaven to create a splash. That's exactly what Reb Nachman says. Because giving charity is Mesirut Nefesh. When a person gives charity, it's difficult for him, it's Mesirut Nefesh. All of these things. Believe me, I have my own Mesirut Nefesh that I have to work on. And this time, the final geula will come in Hashem's mercies when a person has Mesirut Nefesh. After the splitting of the sea of the seventh day, all the people enjoyed a face-to-face relationship with their Creator. We reach this point in order to give every moment. It should just be like when you're saying, whenever you're asked doing something, before you try a new habit, you try it new. First thing you should say, I want to give pleasure to my Creator. How can I give pleasure to my Creator? How can I do it for His sake? Not for your sake all the time. For your sake could be selfish. How can I do it for your sake? How can I do it? We always pray in our prayers, Leman Shemecha, for your sake, for your sake. How can I do this for your sake? Give me the 40-day challenge, Hashem, because you know if I don't connect myself spiritually, I cannot even pray to you. For your sake. When you ask for your sake, for His, for, to give Him pleasure, then you're going to get help. You're going on a diet. Going on a diet so you can take more selfies and look good. That's for your sake. Do it for His sake. The fact that I'm healthier, I can wake up earlier if I'm healthier, if I'm fit, I can wake up with concentration. Let me have exercise so I can have 6 hours of endorphins so I can be able to learn with a settled mind. This is how you should channel your energy. If it's only for the ego, it's usually not going to end up working. But when you do it for His sake and you show that you're willing to self-sacrifice, remember, first you have to talk, then you have to act. It's not enough to say, I want to do this. Okay, you want to wake up early? Okay, wake up early. And the only thing that's getting a hit is the snooze button. So this is where you have to really want it. This is where, again, the majority of the work, which I've not seen anybody but Rabbi Nachman bring this into tuition. I have not seen it. Again, maybe I'm ignorant, maybe I don't know, but I have not seen people talk about developing will for something except for Rabbi Nachman's teachings. Rabbi Nachman, before you even deal with the issue, you're not even prepared. You have to develop a desire for that issue and desire it and be so hungry that eventually you're willing to make the sacrifice. Because if I just walk into something and if I don't have the self-sacrifice, if I don't have the hunger behind it, how in the world am I going to handle the temptations, the desires, the cravings, etc.? I'm not going to be able to do it. I have to be physically, what he's telling us here is first, you have to be mentally prepared to be physically fit. First, you have to prepare yourself mentally for that situation in your life. But you can't ask for more things in life if you're not willing to do something else. And I've seen this in my life. I know where my whole speaking career took off. It took off because I started waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning when I had no intentions of nothing but crying out for the Beit HaMikdash. I have no idea how that happened. I have no idea how it happened. I think there was a war. There was a war in Israel at that time. And I'm like, I'm sitting here in my beautiful house on the water in Aventura, and my brothers and sisters are fighting in the war, and I'm sleeping in. I felt very bad that, look at me, how much comfortable do you want while they're fighting for their lives? And you're sitting here in your house and on the water, enjoying your things. At least wake up early, do something. And that's how I actually created my speaking career. I had self-sacrifice. I said, you know what? I need to wake up in the morning to pray for Kol Yisrael. They're in a war. And that's how I was able to start my career, a speaking career. I never pray to be a speaker. Never did I even want it. Never did I think about it. But because you self-sacrifice, you create a self-sacrifice. In Miami, the first one to wake up before the sun is a self-sacrifice. That's the reward that I got out of it. So each of us in our area of our life can get to that concept. Where we have to, you want more, you have to do something else. And we all watch these videos, these motivational videos. They talk it and all that, and they say, this is wonderful. It's wonderful, but the spiritual way is first you need to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself with desire. How much do you want to go? How much do you want it? How much do you want it? Then you're not going to be upset about the obstacles. Then you're not going to be depressed if you fall down because you didn't put enough desire. It's not... Nothing is wrong with the system. What's wrong with my, do I want it enough? System is always there for you to succeed. But do I want that situation enough? That's what I have to build the desire. And you do that through prayer. And you do that through desire. And God gives us that candle that has to be constantly wanting something. The worst thing you should want in life is to want nothing. But what happens is if you don't do it on your own, your Creator will get it for you. Don't worry. Your creator will do it for you. So this is exactly what we're going through this week. The seventh day of Passover is a tremendous time for Parnassa. It's a tremendous time for breakthroughs. it's a tremendous day to pray for all of this. And this is where you're finally getting now, the seventh day, you're getting that clarity back. The sixth day, we're getting a little more clarity back. Because otherwise, if we're so confused, we don't even have the head to talk about the seventh day. So God gives us clarity, gives us an opening, so we're able to now look at something and go into this. So again, get to the point, number one, look at the situation for heaven's sake. How could heaven benefit from you reaching that goal? Let's say you want to stop marijuana, okay? How can heaven benefit from that? Wonderful. Heaven will benefit because you'll be able to make a decision now. And you'll be able to make, God willing, get married. Because if you can make a decision, you can get married. But if your studies are showing that too much marijuana impairs decision making. So here you go. There's a great case. I can't make a decision, Hashem. I can't make a decision, I can't grow. Because I'm stuck in anxiety. What I'm actually taking for anxiety is causing me more anxiety. Because now I can't make a decision. You make a decision when you go all in. So that builds bitachon. So that's a primary example. Do it for heaven. Now you have to pray, Hashem, creator of the world, give me the courage, give me the strength to be able to do this. Help me really want you. Help me have more emunah and less marijuana. You understand? This is how you develop will. You got to develop it. Just like you're trying to court a date and you're trying to develop a relationship. You have to take her out. You have to romance it. Same thing. You have to romance your creator. You have to create an arousal. How much you want it. And then you're going to have to be willing to pay the price for what you want. And that's it. That's the whole formula. But most of us don't do it for his sake. We do it for our sake. And we don't put the effort, so we're not getting what we want. And this is where Reb Nachman, you know, you can't, Reb Nachman's teachings, of course, there's another angle of Reb Nachman's teachings with the na-na-nach and the guys jumping around. And people look at Reb Nachman, Reb Nachman Simcha. This is the most disciplined teachings you can understand. There's nothing greater, more disciplined than these teachings. This is all discipline. And when you have discipline, you have freedom. And when you can hit goals, you're going to be happy. And when you're going to be happy, you're going to be able to give, and et cetera. So may Hashem help us all. The seventh day, you want a miracle? What are you willing to pay the price for? There's a price to pray. It's not going to come to you by free. Get out of this stimulus packages. Get out of this PPP low mindset. Now, that was 2000. Now, 2020. Now you have to pay the price. You want to be married? There's a self-sacrifice. You want to have Shalom Bayit? You might have to buy a pack of tape and close your mouth. I think that's the best thing for me. Just buy a pack of tape and just, that's it. I don't say anything. Everything has a price. Hashem should help us all. Have a great day.